In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we finally reached that point, the point when the book called the Triodion begins. Corey, do you have that copy over there? Hold that book up for a second. She's lost it. Oh, well, no more Lent. There it is. You see how thick that book is, and that's small print and no pictures, I've got to tell you. But this is the book that's going to get us now through the next 70 days until we come right before the beginning of the great and holy day of Pascha. It's an amazing book. It is full of incredibly spiritually diverse and yet spiritually profound things. And it's going to be our launch pad from here on out. And it starts with this particular Sunday, the first of the four pre-Lenten Sundays, the Sunday of the publican and the Pharisee. Now, why in the world would we start with this particular passage from the Gospel of Luke? Well, primarily because it talks about repentance and the way that we should repent. It's a very short gospel, but a very potent one, because we see a Pharisee, a man who, as he himself said, tithed of his gain. And actually, some of the translations are wrong there. It says tithe of all he has, but that's not correct. It's tithe of all his gain. So he's actually only tithing the overage that he makes, not the whole thing that he brings in. It says that he fasts twice a week, and most of all, that he's not like this publican over here, this tax collector, despised by everyone, and especially that he is not like other men, that he is different, that he is keeping the things, no doubt, that his religion requires, keeping them very, very well, but it's all the attitude that he brings to it. The publican, on the other hand, knows that he's a sinner. He knows that he's been wicked in his life. He knows that he has got no justification before God whatsoever. And so he simply falls down on his knees, says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, because he had nothing left but to beg the Lord's mercy. And so after that, of course, he is the one that goes away justified. Now, what does that have to do with us? Well, for one thing, you and I probably bounce back like a ping pong ball between the publican and the Pharisee, don't we? Sometimes we're very proud of ourselves. Sometimes we are thanking God like we're not, you know, like the person that's at the end of the row you're sitting on or wherever you happen to be. And the other times we do realize that we need the grace of God desperately and we can do nothing without it. But yet in this day and age that we live in now, I mean, my goodness, especially with all the so-called cancel culture, all these sorts of things going on now, most of the world seems to be going in the direction of the Pharisee, because that's what all of this is when you look at it. I thank thee, O God, that I am not like these other people, because these other people, well, they're not thinking like me. They're not doing the things that I do. They are not as good as I am, because I'm the enlightened one, because I know what the rules are and I know how to keep them. That's what we run into everywhere, my brothers and sisters. I mean, you cannot escape it these days. And the danger for us as Orthodox Christians is that we listen to this stuff too much and it rubs off on us. That we start thinking, well, because the world seems to be going in one direction, that we've got to follow along with it. Because after all, you know, if you were back then during the time of the publican and the Pharisee, be a heck of a lot more fun to be in a group of Pharisees, most likely. They had all the good things. They had all the money. They had everything. Whereas the tax collectors, the despised people, you wouldn't want to associate with. So that temptation is always there. It's always there to become Pharisaical in the things that we do. Anytime we judge anybody for anything, for whatever reason, no matter how great or even how small, we are throwing in our lot with the Pharisee. Because the Pharisee is the one who sets himself apart. In his pride, he sees that somehow he is offended because someone's not meeting his high expectations. And anytime we judge someone, That's exactly what we're doing. Even if it's something so little. Somebody walks into work one day and does something you don't like, or they're messing with some papers that you finished straightening up the other day, and immediately, why are they doing that? What's wrong with them? Can't they see that I've spent time doing this? Why are they bothering with it? And on and on and on. This great thing about judgment, this great suction cup that pulls us in every single minute of our lives, is something that we have to fight against constantly. I mean, constantly. It's all part of the spiritual warfare that we have to deal with day in, day out. Because even though we know that the publican was a tax collector, and even though we know he lived a sinful life, we see more of a mirror image of him in us than we should the Pharisee whom we want to emulate. The publican is the one that is reduced to nothing. We too should be reduced to nothing during especially this time of year. I just mentioned the Triodion. You're not going to find any verses in that entire book that talk about how wonderful you are. It's not going to happen. Now, there are verses throughout the rest of the year that do talk about that. They do talk about the image of God in man. They do talk about God becoming incarnate for us because of his love for men, how we are the most precious creatures in his eyes, how we are the people that the entire universe was created for, how we are to be really masters of that universe. Absolutely. There are times that we run into these sorts of things in the service books, but this is not going to be one of them. From here on out, it only gets worse. Because though we are called to repentance now, we are called to turn and change our lives next week. We are called to think about the great judgment the week after that. And then we are finally to contemplate on the fact that we are the inheritors of Adam and Eve being kicked out of paradise. And our lot is one of toil and travail, and we have to begin crawling our way back to that paradise. And that's what Great Lent is all about. That's what happens on this day. This is the first inkling, the first hint, the first call to repentance, to divest yourself of all those things that somehow you think are good for your person, that you think somehow make you the man or woman or child that you are, to get rid of them and to understand that they are not going to do you any good, none whatsoever, unless you fall down on your hands and knees and you cry out to God, "Have mercy on me, a sinner," because that's all that we have in the end is the mercy of God. You know, St. Paul talks today in his second epistle to Timothy. He speaks about how those that are attempting to live a righteous life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now think about that statement for a minute. He doesn't just even say those. He says all those that are attempting to do this are going to be persecuted. And does that mean somehow if you're not being persecuted, you're not attempting that life? No. What that means is that if you are not being physically persecuted, then as all the Holy Fathers tell us, we must persecute ourselves. We must do this by prayer and fasting and spiritual reading and almsgiving and loving one another and looking out for our neighbor. All these things are ways of persecuting our sinful selves. There are ways of engaging in the spiritual warfare, which is there with us constantly. I have to say this every year, it seems like, and I repeat it mainly for myself, okay? And that's that you may not pay attention to what time of year this is. The fact that we've got 3 weeks until Lent officially begins and going through Lent itself. You may not pay attention to it at all. That's your right. You have free will. You can ignore all of it. But the devil doesn't. He knows what time of year this is. He knows how holy this time of year is. He knows that Orthodox Christians are to begin struggling at least this once a year to set aside certain things that we normally do in order to concentrate on the more spiritually potent things. And he goes to warfare against all of us, whether you're ready for it or not. You can be sitting there with your spiritual armor in prayer every night, in supplication every night, and engaging in battle with Satan himself. And that's a good thing to do. But you can also be sitting there comfortably in your chair in the middle of one of the holiest weeks of Lent, say the third week while we approach the cross, when we're deep into fasting and munching down on your cheeseburger. The devil knows that, and he still is going to attack you. And if he attacks you in that state, disregarding everything that we're supposed to be doing this season, then it's going to be rough on you. It's going to be hard. You're going to lose ground spiritually, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. St. Paul indicates that. We will all be persecuted in one way or the other if we attempt to live a righteous life in Christ Jesus. And during this time, this is when we are supposed to up the game. We're supposed to look to ourselves, to understand that we have cluttered ourselves up with so many things that we really don't need in so many ways. I mean, you could hardly count them all. And now is the time to begin divesting ourselves of these things, to start turning to Christ, to start turning to the Lord and the things that He wants to do for us, if only we will pay the slightest bit of attention as to how we're supposed to do them. St. Paul also indicates in his epistle today that we're to go into the Scriptures. And this, of course, is something very, very important. We think of Solomon. We think of his wisdom. Do any of us pray for wisdom? As St. James says in his epistle that we should, because he gives it abundantly. Have you ever prayed for wisdom? That's one of the reasons why during the Lenten season, when the normal epistle cycle is stopped, that we are actually reading the Proverbs of Solomon every day during that time. That's why in Holy Week we turn to the Wisdom of Solomon, that book. Now, the Proverbs of Solomon, of course, are something that are written actually by Solomon. The wisdom literature is not. The wisdom literature is only 30, 40 years before the time of Christ. The Wisdom of Solomon is actually a book that was written the last of any of the books that we find in the Septuagint. But yet, we are called to these sorts of things, to pray for wisdom, to pray for guidance, to put into action the faith that is lain dormant, to search the Scriptures every day, importantly, very importantly, to read the gospel passages every day, to do all these things that we have completely ignored throughout the rest of the year. This is why this day is so important to us. This is why the publican and the Pharisee is like the kickoff, the grand kickoff for Lent, okay? This is the season of the playoffs. Pascha is going to be the Super Bowl, okay? You don't want to lose the Super Bowl. You don't want to do that. You want to pay attention. You want to gradually get rid of this horrible incrustation that we gather on ourselves like barnacles underneath the sea and break it off and let the human person that God indeed does so love so much shine during this time. And it begins by repentance. Repentance for all the laziness that we've done for the rest of the year. Repent of the fact that we're not praying every day. Repent of the fact that we're not helping others as we should. Repent of the fact that we're not giving alms as we should. Repent, repent, repent. St. John the Baptist said it best when he called out, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then when the Lord comes after his baptism, he echoes those same words and says the same thing. This is what is important to us, my brothers and sisters. This is what we have to concentrate on. This is what we have to do during this great and holy season. And if you do that, I guarantee you, although you will run into obstacles, there's no question about that. But where the devil sees effort, he works all the harder to come against you. But you will feel so refreshed by the time we get to the Paschal night. You will feel so clean inside yourselves that you have put this effort in to do the things that the Lord calls us to do every day of the year. But why the church, through our Lord, has established this holy season every year so that we can at least once exercise our spirits in the way that He wants us to all the time. Don't ignore it. Again, a few weeks ago when I said Zacchaeus Sunday was when we send up a flare, that the pre-Sundays are almost here. Well, now they are here. And we start hearing some of the penitential hymns. And so now it's time to start. It's time to turn around. Slowly, gradually, turn around. The Metanoia. a change of heart, an understanding that the Lord seeks us and he's waiting for us, and that we should not, under any circumstances, ignore his call. Amen.